Sixers trying to force a game seven, which would be Sunday in Toronto. Our friends at TNT will have that. Here's Butler, alley-oop, and Simmons with the putdown. Simmons can't finish. Oh, Simmons! What the jam! Simmons again on the attack with the right hand. And now Simmons ahead of the pack.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Friday, May 10, TGIF. Am I right? That's right, man. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me some of that sweet, sweet beer money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today as we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action. While repping Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right. We had two huge game sixes today, and they were awesome. We had a barn burner in Philly for Sixers Raps and a very testy Nuggets Blazers game up there in Portland, Oregon, which were both pretty fun. A lot of fun. We've got a couple of game sevens out of them as well, which is great. So that's all going to be covered with the usual dumbassery of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spot of the Night, and Better Than Lonzo Ball. Of course, we've always got Yeah Nah, we've got the unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got our back takehouse. We were serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new Luke Longley bloke who just did his bloody job, role player Hall of Famer, plus a look at the odds and a pick and preview for the games over the weekend, which is Rockets Warriors, and then a bunch of Game 7s on Monday. It's going to be awesome. After that, we're going to close out with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy as well. That's right, the Celtics may have been knocked out. Doesn't mean bangers can't do his goddamn cooking show. I love it. All right, this one's going to be a good one. Anything could be better than yesterday. This is NBA Strayer episode 283. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Oh, you better watch out for all the leaks coming out of Boston if you're Kyrie Irving. Or Lakerland, as it were.
Oh, our two most storied franchises. Boy, gee, howdy, do they enjoy ragging on people.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Straight with the daily whip around some Lakers news. Love it. So it turns out, we would discuss this yesterday. The Lakers, they got shut down by Ty Lue because they're like, Ty, we're going to give you a three-year contract. What do you reckon? He's like, three, you reckon, eh? How about you blow it out your ass? And the Lakers like, oh, no, we don't want to give you a five-year contract. And Ty Lue's like, well, I'm walking away. After it turns out they tried to foist Jason Imastabiu in the back day one kid on Ty Lue as an assistant coach. It turns out they also tried to shoehorn Kurt Bloody Rambis onto Luke Walton's staff. I mean, cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Give me the guy who went 32 and 132 as a head coach. I'll have him as an assistant. He can teach me lots. Awesome. Good job, Lakers. Also, Rondo came out today and said if the Lakers don't have a coach by free agency, he's not likely coming back. I mean, so that's a plus, I guess, for the Lakers. Lakers fans will also be staging a protest tomorrow outside of Staples Center to voice their frustrations and concerns with the franchise, which is amazing. Anytime you can have a bit of a fan protest, your franchise is doing great. I love it. I feel great. What else on the news? Turns out Kim Jong-un, that fucking lunatic up there in North Korea, wanted famous US basketball players as part of a denuclearization deal, which is pretty fun. So according to ABC News, ahead of the second summit in Hanoi about de-arming up there in North Korea. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un apparently requested as part of the agreement between the countries moving forward that the U.S. send famous basketball players to normalize relations between the two countries. The request was made in writing as part of the cultural exchange between the two countries, and at one point the North Koreans insisted that it be included in the joint statement on denuclearization. That is awesome. The North Koreans also apparently made a request for the exchange of orchestras between the two countries. This is amazing. North Korea, here you go. Here's a Kyrie Irving. No one fucking wants this dickhead anymore, so he's all yours. Also, like, I don't know, the Des Moines Chamber Orchestra or some shit. Now stop making nukes, you fucking idiots. Off we go. All right, injury news. The coward snake, Kevin Durant. He's going to miss the rest of this semifinal series against the Houston Rockets. We probably knew that already, but it's not a Achilles. Obviously, that's good. It's a mild strain in his right calf. He's expected to be reevaluated next week. So we know he's done for game 6 and 7 against the Rockets, but he might be back for the West Finals. Crazy. And sticking with Warriors injury news, a source close to Steph Curry apparently said that his finger that he dislocated back in game 2 continues to be a more significant problem than he'll let on. Oh, yeah. Makes sense. He does look a little bit discombobulated out there, and it's because his finger got discombobulated. Yep. That's how it goes. All right, let's do some raps. In West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground, Philly came out and kicked some ass. Nice. That's right. Philly. Toronto. Game 6 was today, and it was an absolute barn burner. The Philadelphia 76ers runaway winners, 112-101. And it was basically, 11-plus points from about the middle of the second quarter onwards that Philly had this. A couple of threatening moments from the Raps, but they couldn't quite get there in the end. So this is great. We're going to Game 7, baby! Game 7. I love this. My prediction of 6s in 6 has not worked out, but still, I'd much rather a Game 7, because you know what we always say here at NBA Australia? More basketball is better basketball. Fucking love a Game 7. Anyway, so this game was wild. The Sixers jumped out super quick, got going. Harris and Butts were looking good. 7-0 run early on, and then they didn't score for 4 minutes. It was basically a run, and then a run for the Raps, and then a run for the Sixers, and then a run for the Raps, and then a run for the Sixers. A breakup of that run by the Raps, and then another run for the Sixers, and that was the game. Like, it was just wild how it was just run after run after run, going back and forth. And then finally, the Sixers strung together, like, you know, two big runs, and they're up by 20, and you're like, oh, shit. By the time Joel Embiid hit a three in the third quarter, they went up 23, and it was all over. But this is great, man. Like, finally, big Simo, Ben Simmons got out there. He hit a shot. Mike Scott's hitting shots. It was on. I mean, they didn't score for 4 minutes in that first quarter, and you're like, oh, here we go. Gave up an 8-0 run to the Raps. Answered with their own 8-0 run, though. It was 29-21 after the first quarter. The Sixers looking good. They was fired up. They were scrambling everywhere. They're getting buckets out of nothing. And Joel Embiid wasn't doing too much, which was pretty important because it meant Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and Jimmy Butler were all doing stuff. They all had 8 in the first quarter. The second quarter started with a flurry of Sixers buckets. They got up 17 points very quickly, thanks to an 11-0 run. They were 6 of 9 from 3. Nice at that point, too. While the Raptors were not able to hit the side of a fucking barn from downtown. The Sixers, though, again, went scoreless for another extended stretch. 0 of 5 straight possessions. Pretty brutal. The lead went from 17-7 very quickly. But then Jimmy Butts happened. Absolutely wild. While the Raps couldn't buy a 3, they were 3 of 16 at this point, Jimmy Butts had a huge and one possession. It basically got them back up 10-13, and you're like, oh shit, it's on. Because by the time they closed out the second quarter, and then, you know, closed out the half, there was a Jimmy Butler crazy fallback, Hezzy Jimbo, then stole the ball from Clamps, Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi, and then smashed in 2 more. That's 4 points in 10 seconds to make sure the Sixers were up 15 at the half. Absolutely wild. So it's 58-43 at the half with Butts having 19 points. And Embiid wasn't great. He was 2 of 9 going into the third quarter when he scored to get them up 19. Raps answered a little bit. Sikkim, Siakam, Kawhi Leonard at the start of the third were kind of moving along a little bit. And you're like, oh, that's pretty good. They're doing all right, but they just couldn't quite get them back below like 8. And like Redick had a much needed 3 to get them back up 15. There's a massive Kawhi Leonard yam. Danny Green hits a 3. Sikkim Siakam's doing shit again. And midway through the third quarter, down to 8 again. And then Philly answered with a huge 9-0 run. We had Simo with a massive putback. That was huge. They go back up 14. A big couple of buckets, including Embiid hitting a 3. And away they go, as mentioned, up by 23. They scored 29 points in each of the first 3 quarters, did the old Sixers there. And they end up 87-67 after the first three, and you're like, oh, all right, cool. Well, that's pretty good, I guess. So they outscored them by 8, 7, and 5 in the first three quarters, which is pretty bloody handy in a closeout game. In the fourth quarter, they just kept it all tied up, going back and forth. The Raps couldn't make any real inroads. The Sixers stayed up 20 for most of it. Got it up to 23, as mentioned. Simmons D on Kawhi. It's pretty handy. And look, Kawhi threatened a couple of times, and Simo just went, nah, going to shut you down. It looked great. And that was kind of it. A couple of fouls with 4 minutes left. It gummed it all up, but nothing could really come out of it. And that's it. Then the Sixers smashed it from there. So the Raps, they lose this one by shooting less than, they shot 43%. Brutal. And a 9 of 36 evening from downtown. Only 12 turnovers, but they got out-rebounded as well. 52-34. And a lot of that's just like scrambling from like a lot of their wings for the old Sixers, because we had Big Simo, Ben Simmons with 8 rebounds, Butts with 6, Harris with 9, James Ennis with 8 rebounds as well. So it's just a lot of hustle. That'll do it. Anyway, for the Raps, Kawhi. Yeah, 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 turnovers. Went 0 of 4 from downtown, though. And for a dude who's like knocked in a couple of games with 5 threes, this is a bit of a downer. Siakam had 21 and 6 with 3 assists, 8 of 16 shooting for him, 2 of 6 from downtown. He was a minus 21, however, for the game. Big Buddha Kyle Lowry, he was threatening early, looked pretty good, but really couldn't get it going after that. It was a pretty rough night for him in the end. 5 of 11 for 13 points, 6 assists, and 3 of 7 from downtown. He knocked in a couple of threes where you're like, oh, watch out. But just not enough sort of flow going through Kyle Lowry. Mike, Coach Killer Gasol had a bit of a rough one too. 7 points on 8 shots. We'll talk about him later. Danny, not the boxer, Green, had a rough one too. 8 points on 8 shots, all of which were from downtown. 2 of 8, he goes. Yeah, rough. The bench didn't do much either. Big Serge Ibaka went 3 of 10 from the floor for 9 points, 3 rebounds. And the only other real bench player who did anything of note was Norm Powell. Norm! With 5 points. The rest of the bench buckets were all in garbage time. So, yeah. Freddie VanVleet, the Fighting VanVleets, with 1 point. Malcolm Miller. Malcolm in the middle there with 6 points in the last 4 minutes of the game. Jody Meeks, Mr. Meekseeks. There we go. 2 points for him. And it was just pretty gross, you know? They just didn't shoot very well at all, did that bench? It was a total of 8, 4, 18. Ugh, gross. So, yeah, as a team, they didn't shoot great, and you could just tell. I mean, Kawhi, he was going great guns after the first quarter, and then Big Simo Ben Simmons gave Clamps a taste of his old clampy medicine. You want me to use these clamps that I use every day in my freaking life? Yeah. Anyway, the Sixers, for their part, they shot 46%. From the floor, and I think we've mentioned this throughout this series, that the Raptors had held everyone basically to 42% shooting or lower when they win. And if you go above 42%, you got a very good shot at beating the Raps. And that's what happened today. 10 of 28 from 3 as well. 18 turnovers for the Sixers. Not great. 5 of which were from Joel Embiid, and 3 were from Johnny Simmons late. So it's not really that bad of a deal, considering there a lot of them were in garbage time. But Embiid was amazing. He didn't do a giant amount on the old scoring, and 17 points, 12 rebounds, but he was somehow a plus 40 in his time on the floor. He was absolutely unreal. Big Simo Ben Simmons absolutely crushed it, had his best game of the series, and probably one of his best ever games in a playoff game. Absolutely unreal. 21, 8, and 6 for him. 9 of 13 from the floor, was pushing the ball. He was aggressive. He was out in transition. He was cutting hard. He was following up. He had 4 offensive rebounds, which will do it. Bunch of little tip-ins. He looked great. As mentioned, Jimmy Butler was absolutely crushing it. He shot 9 of 18 from the floor for his 25 points. He had 19 in the first half. 8 assists as well. He was unreal. Tobias Harris was pretty good. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Only 6 of 17 shooting. But when you've got Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Butts firing, you just need Harris to paper in the gaps, don't you? And same with JJ Redick, 11 points on 11 shots, 3 of 10 from 3. But it hit a couple of those threes at pretty big, fortunate moments to really sort of like put the old foot on the throat of the Raptors. The bench, Mike Scott was very good again. 20 points. Mike Scott Hive represent 20 minutes. He went 4 of 5 from the field for his 11, 3 of 4 from downtown, 4 rebounds as well. 5 points, 8 rebounds for James Ennis. He was pretty good. 26 minutes for him, 3 assists. Turns out they're the only 2 blokes you can play off the Philly bench, however. Boban got out then. He was a minus 15 doing a great Greg Monro impression. He was minus 15 in his first 4 minutes in the second quarter. And yeah, as soon as Boban came in, the Raps went on a massive run and Kawhi just started shredding. He's like, oh, I see Boban. I'm a fun guy. I'm going to kill him. Boban ends up a minus 18 in seven total minutes in this one. 4 points for TJ at the very death of it. Boban had two on free throws, and that was about it. Jonah Bolden didn't trouble the scorers, but he did have one very nice assist to TJ. It's pretty good, and one turnover. But there you go. The Sixers just all round. It's like, you know, Jimmy Butts led from the front. Big Simo Ben Simmons got out and did the exact same thing, and they absolutely smoked it, even though Joel Embiid didn't have an all-round, like, massive statistic game, but just really smashed it when he was out there for that plus-minus of plus 40. And there you go, man. Kawhi Leonard now, total against the Sixers. He's 16-3. All three losses coming in this series, and this series is tied at three. How fun is this? Love it. What a great game that was. Great game by Ben Simmons as well. Straya. Love it. What about Denver-Portland over there, though, in Portland, Oregon? Well, the Blazers win game 6, 119-108. A very fun game. My prediction of Blazers in 6 was already done, so whatever. Huge, huge home games for each of Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, and Rodney Spudhood. Really big bounce back after being embarrassed in game 5 for the Blazers. This was very fun. And, you know, going into these series, we always have these one big questions for each side and key blokes. And the key blokes for the old Blazers were always like Mo Harkless and Al-Farouq Aminu. Chief, when they're good, they tend to win. Today, they weren't that good, and they still won, which is a very good sign for the Blazers, because you got to have prayer hands up that Aminu and Harkless bounce back in the next game and actually do something. Instead, off the bench today, it was Rodney Spud Hood and Zachy Cakes Collins who crushed it for the Blazers, and they rode them down the stretch. So, fun-ass game. I mean, Denver smashed it out of the gate. They were up 8 after the first quarter, 34-26. Joker was absolutely destroying everything in his path. He had 10-5-4 in the first quarter. Didn't miss a shot. Jamin Jamal had 10 points as well. Second quarter, I mean, Blazers got out there and started doing stuff thanks to Rodney Hood and CJ McCollum getting going. It was down to 3 very, very quickly. Zachy Collins had a big bucket. And as soon as Mason Plumlee got out there for the Nuggets and Monty Morris, the Blazers had got rid of the entire lead in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It was absolutely wild. Jokic was on the bench, Denver up 10, and the lead was just gone. Absolutely crazy. They gave up that 10-point lead in 2 minutes 30 seconds. Will Barton hit a 3, and you're like, oh shit, here we go, Will the Thrill's on, and he hit another one, but then Rodney Hood, it kept answering, and it was on. He had 12 points in 9 minutes at that point. Blazers kept fighting back. Dame was leading them as well. They went on an 11-2 run. There was a moment with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. The Nuggets were down 3. There was about 4 chances the Nuggets had, getting offensive rebounds and having putbacks that just kept not going in. It didn't go in. Cantor finally grabs the rebound for the Blazers, gets it to Dame. Dame gets fouled. The Blazers go up 5. It's a huge swing where it's like, oh, we're either, we get one of these offensive rebounds, we get a tip in, we're only down 1. Instead, you miss it all, and now you're all down 5. You're like, ah, shit. The Blazers settled, shot 11 of 20 for the second quarter, and Hood and Collins were very, very good off the bench. They had 14-8 in the first half. Portland led it 58-54. It's a big turnaround. That second quarter, they outscored them 32-20, did the Blazers. And then the third quarter kicked off. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, came out firing a big yam and 3 points to get the Nuggets back in the lead. And then it was just back and forth. This massive arm wrestle. Dame Lillard, Al-Farouq Aminu, turnovers on each end. Joker goes on a run by himself, gets the lead back for the Nuggets, and then Dame time. It's back on. Gets the Blazers back up. Dame had 28 points at that point. He had 17 in the third quarter. Absolutely wild scenes. He's crushing it. They keep an 87-80 lead going in the third quarter. Millsap hits a massive 3 to open in the fourth quarter, only down 4. But then there's an amazing defensive possession by Evan the Villain Turner, who I had been messaging our man PDX Pete going, man, having Evan Turner out there is coaching malpractice. But at that point, Evan Turner plays amazing D. That leads to a huge 3 by Spud Rodney Hood with 22 points at that point. Zach Collins plays some amazing D, does some man's work in the post against Nikola Jokic, gets a massive defensive board. CJ hits a runner and suddenly the Blazers are up 9. And it never really got close again. It was wild. Rodney Hood just get it done, man. There's some great passing from Evan Turner to Seth the Shit One Curry for a 3 to go up 13. And it was wild. At that point, I'm like, oh, fuck. Evan Turner, he scored 4 total points this entire goddamn series. But he's got a lot of assists and not many turnovers. At this point, there's a bit of biffo. Text for Torrey, Daniel Craig, and Zachy Collins. Pretty fun. Not much in it, though. Come on, man. The Nuggets try to inch back in it. Jokic got a 3 to get it back to 11. Dame time, though. He hits a fadeaway. Back up 13. Basically, game is done at this point. The villain, he has another wicked pass to Collins through a huge slam on a pick and roll. CJ hits a dagger 3 with 1 minute 20 left. There's some fouling, and that was the end of it. The Blazers fans absolutely in raptures about a massive game from Rodney Hood, Dame Lillard, and CJ McCollum. Needed all 3 of them to go off, and they did. So for the Nugs, they shot under 40% for this one. 38.4% they shot. Not too bad from 3. Jamal, Gary Harris, Joker, Torrey Craig, Thrillsap, they were all pretty good from 3. In fact, what's that? 6, 11 of 24. Not bad. Not bad between the starters. 12 of 32 overall. Nikola Jokic, look, he was amazing. 29, 12, and 8. Absolutely crushed it, but fouls out at the end. 4 turnovers for the big Serbian, too. Jam and Jamal had 24 points. He looked very good at times, but then at the same time, he shot 7 of 20 and kind of just... There were a couple of possessions in the second and third quarters where Jam and Jamal got sort of shook loose, and he's like, all right, here we go, and he just clanked it. A couple of them were just a little bit short, and you're like, oh... They go in. It's a very different story. He still ends up with 24, 10, and 5, though. Very, very, very good game for him, even if he didn't shoot great. 7 of 20 is Kobe territory, but still. 15 points for the Dartsman, Gary Harris, on 11 shots. He looked good again today. Torrey Daniel Craig, he had 10 points, 4 rebounds, and Paul Thrillsap had 17 and 6, but shot a horrible 4 of 15 from the field. Zach Collins was giving Thrillsap problems every time he turned around. Same with Aminu when he was on him too. So pretty handy, because when Thrillsap shakes loose as well, the Nugs are very hard to contain. So they contained him pretty nicely. Will the Thrill Barton, as mentioned, he threatened for a second there to get going. Hit a big 3, had another 2 before that, but ends up being a minus 25 with 7 points, 4 rebounds. Plumdog Millionaire, Mason Plumlee, 4 points, 4 rebounds. Still looks like my youngest brother. Good on you, Plumdog. But the less said about Monty Morris and Malik Beasley, the better. 2 points for Malik Beasley. Came on 2 free throws late and did absolutely fuck all else. 0 of 8 from the field. We'll talk about him later. Absolutely gross. So if you're counting at home, that is a total of 13 points for that Nuggets bench, which is not going to do it, considering they got outscored by Zach Collins by himself with his 14. So for the Blazers, I mean, they shot 46%. They were very, very, very good. A lot of runners in the paint, which were very, very handy for CJ McCollum. Just to, you know, for him to see the ball go through the net a bunch of times, got his hair sort of going. You're like, oh, this is CJ. I love a bit of CJ. He felt good about himself. His confidence was up. Oh, it was nice. Dame Lillard, he had 32 points. He was unreal. 11 of 23, 6 of 13 from downtown, including a couple of long bombs, 5 turnovers, 5 assists. But he was awesome. Hot damn. Just a couple of moments where it's like the falling fadeaways in like the fourth quarter were just wild. CJ McCollum at 30, as mentioned, that dagger 3 late, which was huge. 12 of 24 overall for him, 12 of 7 from downtown. He's been pretty bloody good this series. And obviously when he gets going, they tend to win. And when he and Dame are often going, you know, in the same game, then well, it's on, you know. That's how they won that was a game... 3? Yeah, when it was the 4 overtime game and he had 41. And even that game in Denver, game 2, where they stole that one, he had 26 and 6, I remember. And so when they're going, they're on. So they win game 6 thanks to Dame and CJ crushing it. Enes the Penis had a shocker. 2 of 9 again from the field. He did that in game 5 as well. He's gone 6 of 24 the last 3 games, which makes sense when you're like, oh yeah, his shoulder's fucked. Yep. 6 points, 14 rebounds though, battling manfully out there. Mo Harkless and Chief Aminu didn't do much in limited time. They were replaced by Zachy Collins, Evan Turner, and Rodney Spud Hood for a lot of the game. So Mo only had 2 points. Chief Aminu was 7. Probably just as well, they weren't really on one today, Mo and Chief. The bench, though, Zachy Cakes Collins, absolutely amazing. He was absolutely just, whoa, unreal. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 5 blocks, absolute man's game. Seth the Shit One Curry, looks like they left Steph Curry out on the washing line for about a week and a half. 3 points, 1 of 2 from downtown, but he was a plus 19, played pretty good. And Spud Hood, 25 points, massive game for him, 3 of 4 from downtown, 8 of 12 overall. And Evan the Villain Turner, 0 points, but 7 rebounds, 7 assists. And look, he's gone scoreless in, so many games in this series that it's absolutely ridiculous. We're up to 6 games in this series. He scored 4 points total. He has gone scoreless in 5 of these 6 games. And yet, he still has 19 assists and only 2 turnovers. So, can't really trash him. I mean, I can, but I'm not going to. So, good job, the Villain. Good job, Rodney Hood. Great job, Blazers. All tied up. 3-all. We've got a Game 7 on Monday. Absolute rip snorter. So, great job. I love a couple of Game 7s. And these series are really fun. So, extend them. Let's go 9. Fuck, I don't care. 11. 15. Keep playing until fucking August. All right. That leads us to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's a knife.
Jimmy Butts Butler. Holy moly. Took the game over in the second quarter for the Philadelphia 76ers. Hit a massive and one with 1 minute 20 left in the second, but basically kind of sent the game on the course that it was going to go the rest of the way. It put them up 12 at that point. And you're like, oh shit, they're on one. Because the Sixers in that second quarter had threatened heartily to shit the bed. And Jimmy Butler went, not on my fucking watch. I'm going to fix this. And then scored 4 points in the final 10 seconds of the first half to put them up 16 to go into that halftime, 15 to go into that halftime break. It was absolutely wild. And it was all thanks to Jimmy Butts. He was crushing it. Absolutely crushing it. Yeah, what was it? 15 points at the halftime. Amazing stuff. Good on him. He ends up with 25 points and 8 assists on 9 of 18 shooting. Only went 0 of 1 from 3. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't matter. 2 steals. That steal of Kawhi at the very end of the half was absolutely awesome. So, great job, Jimmy Butler. Great game for him. Also, Dame Lillard, 32 points and smashing it whenever he was needed. And Rodney Spud Hood doing exactly the same when Dame or CJ weren't doing it. Rodney Hood was out there sort of just filling in the gaps and keeping the score going, which meant the Blazers didn't have to stress or sweat like too bloody much in those moments and like go down to the Nugs like they probably usually would have when Spud Hood was only scoring 14. 25 makes a big difference. So that was huge. And it's a big moment when he's actually doing stuff that Denver go, fuck, we have to guard Rodney Hood. All right. And then as soon as they send help and pay attention to what Rodney Hood's doing, it opens up the rest of the floor for Dame and CJ and Zach Collins and Evan Turner to do stuff. So great job. Also, honorable mention, NBA Australia Approved Performances of the Night. Now, what about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Is it the Boston Celtics? Holy shit. They become the first team in NBA history to win their first 5 playoff games, then lose the next 4 straight, which is pretty good. But the thing is, Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics, the knives are already out, aren't they? We've already got anonymous players saying, everyone respects his talent, but he's hard to play with. It's all about him.
Gee, do you reckon this is going to slow down into off-season?
Nope. So yeah, everyone's like rehashing the simple fact that Kyrie Irving spent his entire off-season talking shit. Well, in his entire actual season, talking shit, bitching and moaning, talking about how great leader he was and how these other guys had never been there before. And everyone's like, Kyrie, we went to the conference finals last year without you, you fucking idiot. And then it turns around, well, he rocks up. He's like, hey, man, I'm your leader. And everyone's like, fuck this guy, Jesus. And of course, they go crashing out in 5 games in the second round of the playoffs, where without him last year, with much of the same roster, they made the conference finals. That's definitely old mate, no mates right there. So Kyrie is definitely old mate, no mates in Boston at the moment, with Boston fans happy to drive him to the airport to ship him off to fucking New York or wherever he wants to go. Perfect, old mate, no mates. Dug this hole, Kyrie. Then you get the lay in it. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Marc Gasol, yeesh, that was a rough one for the coach killer, wasn't it? 3 of 8 today for 7 points and 0 of 3 from downtown. 4 fouls as well. He just couldn't really sort of stay out there without copping a pretty rough whistle, I reckon, on the odd occasion. There might have been some nice home cooking for Philly, but at the same time, Marc Gasol's a former Defensive Player of the Year, mate. Come on, nut up. Also, spud of the night, Malik Beasley, 0 of 8. Jesus, when did you turn into Michael Beasley, Malik? You're killing me, mate. 0 of 4 from 3. Absolute rubbish game. The Nuggets bench just crapped the bed hardcore, and the Blazers stepped up big time. But Malik Beasley did not help the cause. 0 of 8. Yeesh. It's Lonzo Ball territory. Pantsing of the night, we had Kawhi. he yammed on Mike Scott. Oosh. But then Leonard got pantsed twice by Joel Embiid. He got him in the air once where he just went, oh, yeah, nah, I'm going to send that one back. And then Embiid got clamps Kawhi Leonard again off the backboard. So a couple of big blocks by Joel Embiid. And Kawhi, he's a fun guy, got pantsed in front of the entire Philadelphia audience. Pretty rough one there. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody as long as we keep, you know, we don't have Ball in the Family cancelled. Oh, is it already cancelled? What about Big Baller Brand? Cancelled. Well, I guess it must be time for bowling season, which involves me sitting on the couch, scratching my nuts, and watching the playoffs.
It's bowling season!
That's right, Lonzo. How's that all going? Is your dad just wandering around the house in Calabasas, like, screaming, never lost, while LaMelo looks on and just cries silently? Anyway, today's Better Than Lonzo Ball is... Oh, this one's an easy one, isn't it? Zachy Cakes Collins. Absolutely unreal today for the Blazers off the bench. As mentioned, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, plus 15 for the game. And he came away with 5 blocks. 5! He was absolutely unreal. 4 of 8 from the floor. 5 blocks. Lonzo Ball's never done that. He's definitely never done it in an elimination game in the playoffs. So, Zachy Cakes Collins, despite looking like a 32-year-old lesbian who just bought her first Subaru Outback, you are better than Lonzo Ball. And finally, last segment for right now. Who was Dickhead of the Week?
Dickhead of the Week!
Dickhead of the Week. Paul Pierce. After shit-talking the Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland, Bucks, and calling the series in favor of the Boston Celtics after one game, is not our Dickhead of the Week. Because, hey man, he manned up, went into work, copped all the fucking slings and arrows. Great shit, Paul Pierce. He nutted up. He went back in. He's like, look, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to go in. You're going to give me shit. I'm going to sort of say that I kind of backed away and sort of gave a couple of qualifiers, but at least he rocked up. Good on him. That's pretty tough. But Dickhead of the Week is 100% going to Kurt Rambis and kind of by extension, the Lakers Brains Trust. I'm using air quotes for Brains Trust because... just amazing work from Kurt Rambis and the Lakers to sabotage the franchise. Like, at what point have we ever been shown any shred of evidence that Kurt Rambis knows his ass from his elbow, let alone anything about basketball? He's been an abject failure everywhere he's gone. His coaching record in Minnesota was 32, that's wins, and 132 losses. He went 9-19 as the interim coach in New York. His overall coaching record there for like his last couple of stints is 41 wins and 151 losses. You could put a monkey in a hat and tell, like, roll the ball out there and just put him with a fucking clipboard and he might go better than 41 and 151 in the NBA. Jeannie Buss, I know he's your best mate's husband, but maybe... just maybe, you need to get better mates. Everyone's got that one friend whose significant other is just a fucking idiot, and we hate them, and they think they're hot shit, and you're just like, oh, fuck, Gary, would you fuck off? Oh, I don't want to hear about your boat, you dickhead. You don't let them run your business, you fucking idiots. Lakers, get rid of the Rambi, fuck them off, see ya, gone. I think this is awesome. Everyone knows my biases land heartily against the Lakers, so this is hilarious. But Lakers, a word to the wise. Fuck off this Spud. Get him out of there. Kurt Rambis, sabotaging Ty Lue. Data. Everyone else has signed off on this. Palinka, Jeannie Buss, Kurt Rambis, and his wife are just like, nah, if we say no and we try to make him take Jason Kidd, he's going to quit. And then Kurt, you could be the coach. And he's like, yeah, finally, my dream's coming true. And everyone's like, ah, oh, fuck, I hate this guy. So Kurt Rambis, out of nowhere, left field. You actually overtook Paul Pierce to become dickhead of the week. All right, Yenaz, after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Wow, today's show is going much better than yesterday's, isn't it? I think I've hit the right amount of coffee. That's pretty good. Yesterday was just a shit show, losing my train of thought left, right, and center. Anyway, time for Yeah, Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, did Terry Rozier sacrifice the most of anybody like he reckons? No. Like, Kyrie came in. What did Terry Rozier expect? You're under contract. Did you happily go, oh, well, it's a battle between me and Kyrie. Oh, no, here you go, Kyrie. Just take my minutes. Take my starting spot, would you? No. Terry, you had your minutes cut because Kyrie was there. You didn't sacrifice them. That seems to make it like sound like you were doing it willingly. You got shit on the most, probably, because it probably cost you the most amount of money by not being able to showcase your skills. But at the same time, you just got stuck in a shitty situation and you didn't make the most of it. You had a really crap year. I get that you're the sort of dude who has to play maybe 34 minutes a game to really shine like you did last year. But come on, man. You gotta compartmentalize that shit, go out and kick ass and take names. Jesus, you didn't sacrifice. You could have asked for a trade, asked for more minutes. I mean, if you didn't, then I guess that's kind of a sacrifice for like the sake of the team, but settle down with sacrificing the most of anybody. You probably lost the most money of anybody, which sucks, but anyway. This one's been floating around a lot today. Hey, are the Lakers now worse than the Knicks now that they've even got their own fans protesting? Yeah, nah, no, get the fuck out of here. No one's worse than the Knicks. Remember, the Knicks interviewed Mike Budenholzer. They interviewed Buds and they're like, nah, we're good. Nah, I think we'll be fine. I mean, what the fuck? Oh, also, there was, Isaiah Thomas, the sexual assault case. There was the Melo trade. There was the Mike Woodson twice maneuvering. There was forcing Mike D'Antoni out and choosing Melo over him. There was giving Amari a horrible contract when he had uninsurable knees. There was the Landry Fields contract. You killed Linsanity straight flat dead for no good fucking reason. You hired Phil Jackson, let him strangle the franchise for 4 years or 3 years. You drafted Frankie Smokes. You kicked fans out of your arena. You traded the extreme Zinger Burger. I mean, come on, man.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
I mean, so, yeah, you've got a little while to go, Lakers, to take over the Knicks as the worst franchise in the NBA. Just saying. Speaking of the Lakers, we did have a poll up today on NBA Australia asking, who would you rather as the coach of the Lakers? Any of these spuds, and then a photo of Mike Woodson, Mark Jackson, and Frank Vogel, and Lionel Hollins. There we go. I can remember all these. Or a flesh-eating bacteria, and then a picture of Jason Kidd. Hey, Lakers, should you actually just go and hire Becky Hammon, be done with all this dumbass shit? Yeah, nah, yes! Go hire the first female head coach of the NBA, and while you're at it, fire Rob Pelinka right now and go hire RC Buford and give him a shit ton of money. You're the fucking Lakers. Take a stand. Don't be bitches. Hire Becky Hammon. Go hire the fucking Spurs brain trust. Don't be dickheads. You keep making the same mistakes. Ah, we'll listen to fucking Kurt Rambis. That's the dumbest idea anyone's ever fucking had. Come on, man. Nut up. Hire the lady. Hire RC Buford and away you go. Come on. All right, next up. Will the Raptors bottle this game 7 at home? Yeah, nah. Woo! We'll talk about this later in the preview, but no, I think this is maybe one of those watershed moments for the Raps where they actually nut up and actually deliver in front of their fans in a Game 7 at home. I think they might just be good enough at home to beat this Sixers team. It was really fun. It was really good. It was awesome. But that said, I'm going to be going for the Sixers because it was fucking glorious when the Nets beat the Raptors in Game 7 in Toronto in the first round back in 2014. And I love watching the faces on everybody in Jurassic Park fall. I mean, Canadians, you're awesome. I love yous. But yeah, fuck Toronto. Right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I'm not entirely sure if this is unpopular, but man, do I prefer the idea of the Warriors without KD. I prefer watching them without KD as well, because like every time they actually, you have to find a solution to problems as opposed to going, ah, fuck it, give it to Kevin. It's like they put the difficulty level up on the game, you know? They went from rookie to professional very quickly, and that's way more fun than them steamrolling motherfuckers, you know? So give me that. And finally, it's Friday at Outback Takehouse, and you know what that means? TGIF. Am I right? We've got ice cold, icy cold Fosters in oil drum cans going 4-for-1 only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take, which an icy cold Foster's oil drum can goes great with, is the Boston Celtics angered the basketball gods and basketball karma and made a horrible mistake by trading Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. If they'd just kept the little guy and let him rehab there in Boston, everybody would be chill, they'd know their roles, and Boston would be on the verge of being a powerhouse and probably through to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's right. Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving was a mistake. Only at Outback. Australian Player Watch, next.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, you'd be surprised how much the Outback Takehouse voice like just ruins my fucking throat. That is brutal. All right, let's do the Australian Player. What do you reckon? Should the Celtics have never traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving? I mean, if he bolts this year, maybe. Anyway, Australian Player Watch, Big Simo, Ben Simmons, as mentioned, had an amazing game today in Game 6 against the Raps. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 9 of 13 from the field, and more importantly, 0 turnovers. It's only the 6th time in his career he's done that while playing over 30 minutes in a game. Great game from Big Simo, Ben Simmons. He was aggressive. He was looking for his shot. He was looking to score. He was cramming it down the Raps' throats. It was awesome. Love it. That's my Box Hill Benny. Good stuff. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, got out there as well for 4 minutes of garbage time. He had one assist, a beautiful assist to DJ McConnell, and one turnover as well in that time. Good stuff, Jonah. We've got, obviously, Andrew Bogut playing tomorrow against the Rockets, and Aaron Bangers-Baines, this is our send-off for Bangers. Fare thee well, my gentle prince. He finished the playoffs averaging only 12.8 minutes a game, 2.1 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 0.3 assists, steals, and blocks, which is pretty weird. Shot 57% from the floor and 33.3% from three. Now, Brad Stevens, apparent coaching genius. Last year, Aaron Bangers-Baines, don't forget, this is the year that the Boston Celtics made the Eastern Conference Finals. Aaron Bangers-Baines averaged 20 minutes a game, averaged 6.6 rebounds, 1 assist, shot 50% from the floor, and 47.8% from three. That's right. He played 7 minutes more per game across the entire playoffs and they made the conference finals. Brad Stevens, play bangers. I'm not saying that he cost you an Eastern Conference Finals berth, but that's exactly what I'm saying. All right, nice one. Friday, what do we do on Fridays? It's the Luke Longley Memorial. Bloke who just did their bloody job, Role Player Hall of Fame. And today we are celebrating an amazing role player from the 1993 Phoenix Suns, one of my favorite teams of all time. And today it is the Big O, Oliver Miller. That's right, Oliver Miller is our Luke Longley Memorial bloke who just did their bloody job, role player, Hall of Famer, the big fella. He was known as the Big O because he was routinely over 300 pounds, which is pretty bloody big. But he was also a wildly effective role player for those early 90s Suns when he was only a first and second year player. Went to the finals in 93 with Chuck, Barkley and Kevin Johnson and Thunder Dan Marley in his rookie year, averaged 7 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.5 blocks in 21 minutes a game in the 93 playoffs. Went all the way to the finals as a rookie and shot 58.7%. Absolutely crushed it. He wasn't as good the next year, but AC Green came in and Mark West was kind of ironically eating up a bit of the more of the playing time. He came up behind Mark West for the Suns and played 30. I think he started 30 games that second year, but yeah, it was a tough one. He ended up going to the expansion Toronto Raptors the year after that and averaged 12.9 points, 7.4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and 1.5 steals per game. Unfortunately, he then got sent from Toronto to Dallas and then from Dallas to Sacramento and then back to Phoenix and ended up overseas, beset by weight problems. He was officially listed at 270 pounds his first year, but was easily pushing up to 380. So his stamina was absolutely shot and he just couldn't kind of do much. Unfortunately, also, in April 2011, he was accused of pistol whipping a fella during an altercation at a barbecue in Maryland. He was arrested and charged with first and second degree assault, reckless endangerment, possession of a handgun, using a handgun in a violent crime, possessing a handgun in a vehicle, and disorderly conduct. He pled guilty to first degree assault and possessing a handgun. He was sentenced to a year in jail. That's a 5-year sentence with 4 years suspended, with 5 years of probation. But Jesus! Anyway, he's bounced back and the big O, Oliver Miller, I loved him. He was awesome. He was just bloody huge, wasn't he? And as a rookie, he was an unreal backup big man behind Mark West for those amazing Suns, and therefore, just did his bloody job, crushed it, and was unreal. So therefore, Oliver Miller, you are this week's Luke Longley Memorial. Bloke who just did their bloody job, role player, Hall of Famer. All right. Patty Mills Game Day, Baller Game Day, and the the Game 7 previews right after, let's say, these.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. Love this. Time for the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet Game Day Twitter check-in. It turns out Joe Ingles is actually inspiring everybody. I mean, we talked about Deli tweeting out some good stuff yesterday about him hanging out and, talking about his off-season. Deli also tweeted today a video of him working out saying leg day / GHRs and then the flexing emoji. And it's amazing. Just watching that is making my hamstrings hurt. And someone, Jeff at Another Level Sports, asked, "Hey, Joe Ingles, when are you posting your workout clip?" And Jingles replied, "Never." Which is pretty good. Great stuff, Jingles. He also is responding to a couple of other folks. "Hey, Joe, were you doing a meet and greet in Melbourne?" Jingler retweeted that saying, "If you want to babysit my twins and daddy daycare, your turn now," said Chris O. And Joe Ingles said, "Nothing better." Good stuff, Jingling Joe Ingles. Such a good bloody dad. Dad goals right there. All right, let's do some game previews for the weekend, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. Are you excited for the weekend?
I mean, sure. Might go to the footy. What do you reckon? Sounds pretty good. All right, let's look at the games for tomorrow. We've got Rockets hosting the Warriors for game 6. It's an elimination game for Houston. Warriors lead the series 3-2. The Rockets are 7-point favorites at home, which is absolutely wild. It's almost like people forget that the Warriors won a title when they did not have Kevin Durant on their team. Look, KD has gone out, but 7 points. That's like a 4-point addition on top of the usual sort of 3-point home court advantage. So I'm going to take the Warriors plus 7. I feel like the Rockets might win this, but it's going to be very close. And I feel like they just eke it out. So I think the Warriors cover, but the Rockets win. How does that sound? Yeah, pretty good. So that's game 6. So I reckon we've got a game 7 of that, Rockets-Warriors. We'll have that on Monday as well, which would be amazing. I think it's only apparently the second time ever we would have 3 game 7s on Monday, provided the Rockets win. So I'm predicting the Rockets do win, the Warriors cover. I'm going to say 108 Rockets, 103 Warriors. So they win by five. So the Warriors cover, Rockets win, we get a game seven. And then no game Sunday. And then Monday, we have Blazers and Nuggets game seven. We have the Blazers going to Denver for a 9 a.m. Eastern. Apparently, it's listed, which is pretty weird because 9:10 is the listed time for Sixers Raps. But anyway, the Nugs are 5-point favorites at home against the Blazers. And it's pretty good. This is a very tough one. And I might have to take the Blazers. They get an extra day off to go acclimatize in Denver. And I'll take the Blazers plus five. Even if they don't win, I feel like this is a very close one and they cover. But I still want the Blazers to win because I would love to see the Blazers take on either Rockets or Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. So give me the Blazers. Give me game seven. I love it. And then finally, Raptors, Sixers. The Raptors are 6.5-point favorites at home. And unfortunately, I'll be going for the Sixers. I want the Sixers to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, fuck the Raptors. I feel like the Raptors win this, however. And I think it might be a big one. So I reckon they win by about 10. So give me the Raptors minus 6.5. I don't want that to happen. It's just what my head believes. But my heart is screaming out, go Sixers, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Sixers. 76ers. All right. So there you go. The picks are plus 7 for the Warriors, plus 5 for the Blazers, minus 6.5 for the Raptors. But I want the Rockets to win, the Blazers to win, and the Sixers to win. So let's see how we go. Nice one. Hopefully we'll have another game 7 on Monday as well. Rockets Warriors. That'd be awesome. And you know what? We'll be wrapping all that up for you on Monday, and it should be absolutely chock-a-block. Game 7s. We'll have some Eastern and Western Conference Finals set up for you. It's going to be pretty bloody good. Nice one. Anyway, so we'll be back Monday with all the usual ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, Instagram, all that good stuff. We're all over the social media whenever. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to NBA Australia, click on the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side, then go do all your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end for sending them, well, sending you their way. There we go. And it helps out heaps. Support us, would ya? Chuck us a rating and review at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever Android app you use to listen to podcasts. If you mash as many stars as you can, that'd be really handy. Helps out heaps. Follow us on Spotify. You don't have to listen through Spotify, but it'd be really good if you did. Big thanks to From Oslo, though, for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. You hear I've Been Broken behind Yena every day here on NBA Australia. It's an absolute corker of an album and a corker of a tune. So, also big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to finish up with a brand new Cooking with Bainesy as Aaron Bangers Baines cooks up a treat for you. And we will catch you on Monday. Have a great weekend, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose! Cooking with Bainesy is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And now it's time for Cooking with Bainesy with your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. Yeah. All right, g'day. Oh, g'day. Look at yourself. Yes, g'day, Cheryl. I always see you down the front. Yeah. All right. Oh, come on, set. Yeah, it's settled down. Thanks very much. Yes, welcome to Cooking with Bainesy. I'm your host, Aaron Bangers Baines. And look, on this here episode, we are going to whip up one of my all-time absolute Aussie favorites. It's going to blow your mind. You can have it whenever. It's an absolute bloody treat. It is the classic party pie. Yeah, that's right. We're going to cook up some party pies for you on this episode of Cooking with Bainesy. Now, I love me some party pies. They're easy as, mate. Definitely helps keep up this physique, you know what I'm saying? I reckon I probably put away about 40 of these buggers per week, eh? Easy. All right, so. All right, you ready? So it's bloody simple, mate. Yes, all you gotta do is go down to your local soupy and just grab a box of party pies of whatever takes your fancy. Because look, now, I like the round ones and you can get a pack of 24 of patties, but I do also like the 4 and 20 party pies, which come in those rectangles. They're a bit easier to eat because you can just grab the end and you're not going to burn your tongue. So whatever you prefer, just don't fuck around with the party packs. The sausage rolls are absolutely bloody rubbish. So, now, it's bloody simple. Just preheat your oven to 250 degrees or as hot as you bloody well want. Dump all 24 of your party pies. Don't screw around and only do 12 or half of them or whatever. Put all 24 out there because you're going to eat all of them. Trust me, you're going to eat all of them. When she's all heated up, your oven, put your tray in there. Just, I don't know, look at the back of the package. See that it says 30 minutes. Now, go crack a tin. Sit back. Hang out. Once they're done, grab them out. Load them up with a bit of tomato sauce. And Bob's your bloody uncle. That is awesome, isn't it? Just look at it now. Look. This is very important. Give them a second to cool down. You probably have to only bite like the edge of one of them to open it up just to see how hot it is. Because otherwise, you'll burn your bloody tongue because the insides of these buggers are like bloody molten lava, eh? So, grab yourself another tin. Wait for them to cool down just a little bit so they're not bloody molten lava. Then get your bloody munch on. Oh, there you go. Look at this one. That's an absolute bloody ripper. The best bit is, these are as good as anything for any occasion. You got mates coming around, party pies. Missus with some of her mates, party pies. Kid's birthday, party pies. Getting home shit-faced after a night out of the Terps, party pies. Easy. They're just bloody delicious, mate. All right, look, I'm just going to munch in this. And I'll probably cook up enough of them for all of you. So look at this. Here we go. Oh, how easy is that? Love it. All right, so get into the party pies. And that's it for this week. How easy? All right, tune in next week for a new recipe. And we'll see you then on the next episode of Cooking with Bainesy.